Blog Talk Radio.
Nope. Nope.
Come on, him.
Ooh, I like him.
Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up messes quicker, and each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less.
He's an 8.
He's a 9.
Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
Hey everybody, this is your girl Chinchilla Jonicia, aka Chinchilla J, and welcome to another segment of News Forum. Tonight is Sunday, November 21st, 2021, and tonight on News Forum, the scales of injustice in America. How to balance justice. Wow. Well, we're going to take a look at that and more tonight. We're going to allow you to express yourself and express yourself Sunday. Speak your mind as we go in an in-depth discussion on the Julius Jones case, the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict, and the Ahmaud Arbery lynching. We're going to weigh in on the scales of justice tonight, right here on News Forum with your girl Chinchilla J. Tonight, my special guest will be Latasha C. Williams, prosecutor; Caroline Turner, defense attorney; Latara Smith, private investigator; and all of you are welcome to call in and speak live on the air to discuss, ask questions, comment, vent, speak out, and speak up. Let us hear what's on your mind tonight concerning these topics of injustice tonight. So keep it right there. Don't you dare go nowhere. News Forum with your girl Chinchilla J. We'll be right back after this. Well, if you think the United States of America prisons are terrible, well, this will make you think again. 68 inmates in an Ecuador prison were killed during a gun battle between rival gangs inside the nation's largest penitentiary. Violence erupted at the Litoral Penitentiary between two prison gangs connected to drug cartels. The violence lasted for about 8 hours, and inmates were seen carrying guns and explosives inside of the prison, which incarcerates 8,500 people. 12 additional inmates were injured during the weekend rioting. One video from the incident showed inmates lying on the ground. Some of the bodies were burned because of the incident. The prison is located in the city of Guayaquil. The governor of the Cuyas province said that the government is trying to fight drug trafficking. The leader said inmates tried to dynamite a wall to get into a pavilion to carry out a massacre. They also burned mattresses to try to drown their rivals in smoke. This bloodshed comes after a battle broke out at the same penitentiary in September among inmates that killed 118 people, and 5 were beheaded. Ecuador is currently in a 60-day national state of emergency, with military forces joining police to fight back against violent gangs and drug trafficking. Well, for those of you who live in Georgia, can rest a little easier knowing that the 5 inmates who escaped from a Georgia prison on November 11th have all been captured and are back in prison. The inmates were Tyree Williams Jr., Dennis Penix Jr., Brandon Pooler, Tyrese Jackson, and Lewis Evans III. The 5 have a history of violent crime. and they allegedly stole a van from Pulaski County Jail parking lot after escaping prison. According to the GBI, the inmates, after their escape, they were armed with two stun guns, and now all five are back in prison. Now for a very unorthodox procedure in the White House. For those of you who don't know, on Friday, November the 19th, Vice President Kamala Harris was sworn in as President of the United States of America, while President Joe Biden underwent a colonoscopy. I have never heard of such a thing. But, hey, this is a new era in America. Kamala Harris's presidency was for 85 minutes. That's 5 minutes shy of an hour and a half. What a laugh. Here's another doozy of a trial. The judge in the trial of Christopher Belcher, 20, was given probation. Christopher Belcher pleaded guilty to rape and sexual abuse for assaulting four teenage girls when he was also 18, avoided prison when a judge sentenced him Tuesday to 8 years probation. Niagara County Court Judge Matthew J. Murphy III said a prison sentence for Christopher Belcher would be inappropriate. Really? Wow. The ruling shocked the courtroom and the victims of Christopher Belcher. One of the attorneys, Stephen M. Cohen, said that his client threw up in the ladies' room following the sentencing. And he also said she was deeply disappointed in that sentencing. Cohen said, "I have been practicing law for over 30 years. If Chris Belcher was not a white descendant from a rich and influential family, in my experience, he would not have received the original plea deal, and he would surely have been sentenced to prison." Barry N. Covert, an attorney for Belcher, declined to comment. But he did, however, tell reporters in the courtroom that his client was remorseful. Belcher was charged with first-degree rape, third-degree rape, and sexual abuse in 2018. The next year, as a part of a plea deal, he pleaded guilty in 2019 to lesser felony charges of third-degree rape and attempted first-degree sexual abuse, and two misdemeanor counts of second-degree sexual abuse. Now get this. Murphy said on Tuesday that he agonized over the sentencing. Here's what he said. "I'm not ashamed to say I actually prayed over what the appropriate sentence would be." He sentenced Belcher to 10 years probation with 2 years credit for time served. Now also listen to this. The crimes took place in Belcher's home, which is situated in a wealthy Lewistown neighborhood, and his mother, Tricia Vacanti, his stepfather, Gary E. Sulo, and a family friend, Jessica M. Long, are accused of supplying the victims, three 16-year-olds and one 15-year-old, with alcohol and marijuana on different dates between 2017 and 2018, to groom them for the assault. They have pleaded not guilty to misdemeanor charges of child endangerment and unlawfully dealing with a child. Efforts to reach Vacanti and Sulo by phone on Thursday were not successful. Long, when reached on her cell phone, declined to comment. I am Chinchilla Jonesia, reporting News Forum, Syndicated Radio. News Forum is a syndicated radio program with over 11.5 million listeners worldwide. News Forum is brought to you by the ONE Network and Looking Glass Entertainment. If you're listening tonight via the World Wide Web and would like to talk, comment, or vent, you must dial 516-453-9133. Again, that number is 516-453-9133 and press 1. If at any time you would like to talk, comment, and vent and you're already listening via phone, just press 1 and you will be placed in the caller queue. News Forum is hosted and anchored by investigative reporter Chinchilla Jonesia, a.k.a. Chinchilla J. To reach Chinchilla after the show, to find out how you may get on News Forum and be a guest, you may call her Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. by dialing 844-642-8378. Again, 844-642-8378, extension 888. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show as we now take you to the live scheduled broadcast of News Forum with Chinchilla J and Scales of Injustice in America. And now here she is, host and anchor of News Forum, Chinchilla J. Well, good evening, everyone. I am Chinchilla Jonesia, of course, a.k.a. Chinchilla J, and I hope you have had a wonderful Sunday. It is November 21st, and we only have just a few more weeks left in the year 2021. Have you gotten anything done this year? If not, hopefully if you make it to see 2022, you will know what you need to do. But tonight, what we're going to do, we're going to talk about how to balance justice. Can we balance justice? Because in this country, the scales of injustice are just totally, totally horrific. We live in America, supposed to be land of the free, home of the brave. I don't really know how true that holds because of all of the things that's going on in this country when it comes to wrongful convictions, when it comes to leniency being granted to people that are not of color, when it comes to money, wealth, and finances and status quo playing a part in people getting off for crimes that they should be behind bars for. So tonight, that's what we're going to talk about, all the scales of injustice, because this week alone, there have been, this past week, should I say, we have seen so many different trials, and, you know, it's been so, like, mind-boggling, it's crazy. And we're going to talk about some of those. We're going to address some of those issues. We're also going to make comparisons in contrast to past trials and convictions and people that were not convicted, how these things played a part, like the color of your skin, the amount of money you have, and where you live also. You know, these things should not even be a factor in our justice system, but it is. These should not be an issue because every trial proceeding should be based on justice. Justice being innocent until proven guilty. Justice being having a jury of your peers. Justice being having a defense attorney providing the best possible defense for you. Do we see this happening in America? Very rarely. Very, very rarely. And I have had some, a week that's been, I can't even describe it, because the first thing I want to mention is the Kyle Rittenhouse case. That was a case that literally just blew me away. with the verdict being rendered by the jury of not guilty on all counts. You know, first it was the judge, he threw out the gun charge on Monday. And then we had that jury come back with that verdict. That was horrible, horrible, horrible. So my feelings, I'm just going to put it out there for everybody right now. My feelings on that, he should be behind bars. If he was a black man, or should I say a black teenager, because he was 17 when he killed the two men that he killed. He was 17 years old. And what really infuriates me about that is reading the articles that I've read concerning that. And the articles all called Kyle a teenager. But when we look at articles of black teens that are arrested and have committed crimes, they're always referred to as juveniles. And Muti Osaburu, who you have heard his voice on News Forum a few times from voice clips I played of interviews with him, he always talks about the word juvenile and how it's used to describe black minors, children. And it's not being referred to Kyle, okay? I have not seen any place where they called him a juvenile at all. And that's because, you know, calling someone a juvenile basically is saying, okay, they are criminals. They committed a crime. You know, like we have the Juvenile Delinquency Center. We have the Juvenile Justice Center. And, you know, every time we hear that word juvenile, it just has a bad taste, okay? But if someone is called a teenager or a child, people tend to have more compassion, more leniency on them, and they look at them differently when they're referred to as a child. But Kyle Rittenhouse should have been referred to as a juvenile, just like all of the black teenagers are referred to. Even those as young as 10, when they commit a crime, they're called a juvenile. And so that is something in itself that is very sickening to me, and that has to change. If you're calling one teenager a juvenile, then by all means, call them all juveniles. If you're calling them children and they're white, then for heaven's sake, call them all children, no matter the color of their skin. Call them all teenagers, okay? So this is something that has to change in America. It has to change. So with Kyle Rittenhouse's case, you know, Kyle killed two men. And here's the thing, okay? He did not live in the area. He didn't even live in that state, okay? So he comes across county lines, across state lines, toting, packing, you know, carrying, strapped with an assault weapon and opened fire, you know, and killed Joseph Rosenbaum. He killed him. And these two men, they lost their lives. Yet Kyle claims, you know, he was defending himself. Well, where's the proof showing that he was defending himself? Okay, from what I could see, you know, one of the men tried to disarm him because he was opening fire. And, you know, it's so very sad. And another man was injured. And yet Kyle walks away scot-free. Scot-free. And is home with his family. He will be enjoying Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah, I don't celebrate that because that's a pagan holiday. It's nothing to really be thankful for, but just another day that God has blessed us to see if we're still alive. But that was a day where, you know, the Christopher Columbus, the pilgrims, and whoever, you know, came to this country and stole the land from the Indians. So I don't celebrate it. But anyway, Kyle will be home with his family. He'll be home with his family for the Christmas holiday, for those of you that celebrate that. He will also be bringing in the new year with his family. But Anthony Huber and Joseph Rosenbaum Will they be able to do that? No, because Kyle Rittenhouse killed them. And it's such a sad thing that that man now, 18 years old, okay, that young man is now home. He should be behind bars, and we all can agree, I'm sure, that if Kyle was a black teenager, he would have been shot on the spot. He probably would not have even made it to a trial because they would have killed him. And then if he would have survived being shot and actually went to trial, guess what? He would not be celebrating the holidays home with his family. So these are grave injustices that are carried out by this country. Even his jury, an all-white jury, one black, you know, and he was allowed to pick and choose and, you know, do everything else. I mean, this is just totally ridiculous. The other thing with his case, well, he came from a family with money. He's a white supremacist. The white supremacist group, Tim All the Way, they even paid his bail, okay? His bail. And I believe his bail was set at $250 million, and those white supremacist groups, they paid it for him. And, you know, and now they're all rejoicing saying justice was served. But I beg to differ, justice was not served. So tonight we are going to talk, of course, with Caroline Turner. We're going to weigh in on this because Caroline, as you all know, is a criminal defense attorney. She's worked as a public defender before, and she knows the law. And she is going to talk about it and let us know how she feels about the verdict about it, and then some of the legalities of that verdict coming back the way it did. So, Caroline, how are you tonight?
I'm well, thank you so much. How are you?
I am fine. I am fine. All right, so let's talk about Kyle's verdict. And just, I already know your personal feelings about it, but let everybody know your personal feelings on the verdict and why, and then we can get into the legalities of why that verdict may have come back the way it did.
It's a horrible verdict. It was awful because he represents white supremacy and because he got so much support from white supremacists. And because it's just an awful indictment of our system. We all know that had he been black, the verdict would have been very different. I mean, the kid is being offered congressional internships and free college education by these right-wing politicians, and it's disgusting. It's absolutely hideous. I hate it. It's just, they paid his $2 million bail. He got treated like a celebrity. It's nauseating. It's absolutely nauseating. And, you know, you think that you were talking about him being labeled a teenager as opposed to a juvenile, and then you think of other, Tamir Rice was a 12-year-old with a fake gun, and this guy was carrying an assault rifle down the street and was acting like a vigilante. He was being a vigilante. And
yes,
there's nothing in me that that likes any part of this. It's hideous. It just highlights the dichotomy for rich white defendants and poor defendants of color in this country and the type of justice you get. It's unfortunately, it's not even shocking because you have all that money, you have all that support from powerful people, and what's going to happen. We all know what's going to happen.
Yes. Wow. Yeah, and that's so very sad and, like you said, unfortunate. And, you know, here's Kyle, like I said, coming across state lines, hacking at that assault weapon. And, you know, so he went there. He knew what was going on. He didn't like it, being a white supremacist, because the people there were supporting George Floyd with what happened to George Floyd. They were against that, so they were protesting that. And also the murder of a black man that was murdered by the police officers there. And, you know, he didn't like that, of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so he went there with the intention to invoke harm.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's just so sad. It's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Caroline, mm-hmm. with the jury coming back with that verdict, not guilty on all counts, how on earth did they come up with that verdict?
Well, the gun charges were dismissed by the judge on the motion of the defense attorneys before the jury deliberated, and it was a technicality. It was a badly written law that said if you're over 18, you can't have this type of. It's illegal to possess this type of weapon. But they didn't make that the law if you were under 18, because they wanted under 18 to be able to go hunting with a certain length of barrel on their shotguns. And so it was a technicality. It was because the defense argued that because he was under 18, the law didn't apply to him, because that particular law on the length of the shotgun being illegal only applied to people over 18. So that was ridiculous.
Right.
Loophole. And then the whole self-defense thing, it is very hard for a prosecutor to prove, because what happens is if you claim self-defense, which is an affirmative defense, what happens is the burden shifts from the prosecutor to prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt in the main charges and the elements of the crime. What happens is when it's an affirmative defense that they were doing it in self-defense, the prosecutor then has to prove a negative. They have to prove that he wasn't acting in self-defense. So it's a really hard burden for the prosecutors to prove. And so that's why it was a not guilty verdict, because I guess they decided that, that was all the evidence that was presented, that the prosecutors could not prove that it was not self-defense. It's complicated, but that's what happens. And you know, with self-defense, it should happen that way, because if you think about all the people, you know, in domestic violence situations, in situations where there really was self-defense, they were acting in self-defense, you want them to be able to prevail on that defense, you know, when there's a situation where they're being attacked or something like that. And so it should be in law, it should be that the prosecutors, of course we don't like it in this case, but I would hate them to change the law on self-defense because of Carl Rittenhouse. That would be, you know, making things worse. It's the gun laws. It's gun laws that have to be changed. It's, you know, the idea of a child can possess this type of weapon but not somebody over 18 is absolutely absurd. I guess the legislators hadn't bargained on this under 18 juvenile possessing an assault weapon to do what he was doing. So that's why that charge got dismissed. It was a technicality.
Wow. That's really a shame.
you know, because we look at, you know, cases of men right now that are wrongfully behind bars for crimes they did not commit. And, you know, a lot of them are behind bars without any evidence whatsoever, but from a witness, you know, that really is misidentification, because a lot of these witnesses mm-hmm. have already recanted their stories, and yet these men are still sitting behind bars. And it's so very unfair, you know, that juries in their cases came back finding them guilty when it's supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, and the prosecution is supposed to prove guilt beyond the shadow of a doubt. So to me, that's just so one-sided, Caroline. It's just ridiculous, because in these wrongful conviction cases, there was doubt, you know? But yet, these men have been found guilty for crimes they have not committed and have been in prison now for decades upon decades, and it's so very sad. And if we look at the case of Travis Raybon, you know, he was defending himself, and where is he at? In prison, and has been mm-hmm. in there now to be 14 years next month, and, well, mm-hmm. in January. And, you know, it's just so very sad. And here's Kyle, you know, claiming that he was defending himself when he clearly was not. But in his case, you know, the law actually worked for him, because the prosecution yeah. did not prove, you know, the case. But if Kyle was black, he would definitely be behind bars. And this is just so very yeah. wrong. It is so very wrong. We're going to bring on Latara can weigh in on this. For those of you that don't know Latara is a private investigator, and we're going to speak with her tonight on this issue. Latara, how are you tonight? And welcome to News Forum.
Thank you. I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Good. Now, Latara, what are your personal feelings about the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict?
Well, you know, I think it's really sad. You know, I think, you know, as you said, if he was African-American, he would have been found guilty. I think it's really sad. I mean, I'm really kind of lost for words to a certain extent, you know, when you – what I've read on the case and the self-defense issue and all of that, it just doesn't all add up to me. And I just don't understand, you know, I've seen black men who actually are in court for self-defense. I mean, where they actually, it was self-defense, and I've seen them get convicted of second degree murder, and they were actually defending themselves. But I just don't think that was the situation for this young man. I'm just lost for words. I just don't know how they found him not guilty. I mean, and to throw out the gun charge and all of that, I mean, it just seems like it was just fixed from the beginning, and I think it's really sad. I really do. I just don't get it.
Yes,
I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either, because, you know, it's just wrong, you know, but he had, like I said, the backing of the white supremacist groups, you know, a lot of money. Throw them there towards the judges, and I'm sure the prosecutor too. And, you know, it's just so very wrong. And then it just makes me think about another case, Joel Atkins, who clearly was defending himself. And, you know, someone was killed, but he was defending himself. And just so happens the arresting officer and the first officer on the scene was the cousin of the person that died. And, you know, but Joel was defending himself. It was self-defense, and yet he's behind bars. And, you know, it's so very wrong. He's in jail, and it was self-defense. And, you know, so I just don't get this. It really just really, really, really bothers me so bad. So very bad. But we're definitely going to talk about some other cases. People, if you have something that you would like to see, you may do so by pressing 1. tonight, and we will do our best to get your comments on the air live on News Forum with Chinchilla Donesia. And we're also going to be talking tonight about Julius Jones' case and also the Ahmaud Arbery case. We'll talk about that. It won't be in great detail, but we will definitely be talking about that case tonight too. And also, Latara will update us on the Keith Carnes case. And as a matter of fact, let's give us an update on Keith Carnes' case right now, Latara, before we go to a caller.
Okay. Well, currently Keith Carnes' case is pending before it's actually getting ready to go back to the Missouri Supreme Court on the 30th of November. The 30th of November is the date that both the Attorney General here in the state of Missouri and the Keith Carnes attorneys have until the 30th of November to turn in their finding of facts to the special master, which is a judge who was appointed by the Missouri Supreme Court to oversee Keith Carnes' case and look into his claims of innocence. So right now, that's where it stands. From what I understand, the judge plans to do everything he needs to do and submit it to the Supreme Court before the first of the year, is what I heard Friday. And so that's where we are with Keith Carnes' case. We're just waiting for everyone to get their paperwork turned in and then for the Missouri Supreme Court to make a decision in his case.
Okay, that's so very awesome. And just so everybody know, how long Keith has been wrongfully behind bars?
Keith has been in a Missouri prison for 18 years for a murder that happened on October 6, 2003. He's been confined ever since, I think it was October 15, 2003, for a crime that Mr. Carnes has always said that he did not commit. And, you know, I mean, there was grave prosecutorial misconduct, police misconduct. There was also, ineffective assistance of counsel, from his attorney in the case. So there's a lot to Mr. Carnes' case. Absolutely no reason that it's taken this long to get his case back in court. But because of how our laws are here in Missouri, they're just set up to keep innocent people in prison. That's what our laws are here in the state of Missouri. And because of that, you know, Mr. Carnes has been fighting for 18 years to get to the point where he is now. So prayerfully, now that he has been appointed a special master, which is very rare to happen here in the state of Oklahoma, I mean the state of Missouri, I'm sorry, very rare to be appointed a special master. I believe he is the eighth person in the state of Missouri who dealt with a wrongful conviction case to be appointed a special master, and I think seven of those eight people have gotten relief and are now out of prison. So it's a really big deal when the Missouri Supreme Court comes in and appoints a special master. So prayerfully, that appointment will result in his release sometime before the first of the year.
Yes, that will be so very awesome. We will definitely be keeping him in prayer and touching and agreeing for his release. All right,
amen.
So stay right there, ladies. We're going to take a caller now. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Oh, yeah, this is Mr. Boston. Y'all got the right thing going on over here. I am so digging this since I'm going to say I'm a victim of the criminal justice system. I'm going to say I'm a circumstance of the criminal justice system. But, you know, the reality of it is we, you know, the laws for them and it's laws for us, you know, and the reality of it is that the criminal justice system problem with racism, It actually starts before the first contact and continues through the pleas, conviction, and incarceration, and then hopefully being released. The entire problem is historically rooted and ongoing before we can even assess the legitimacy of this government entity. As I say, because it encompasses from the federal level all the way down to city and state. You know what I'm saying? The criminal justice system is just totally rotten, you know. The system itself is the ones that light the fuses to all of this stuff because, you know, we the convicted or the charged or the families, they never really know what's going on behind them closed doors from the time that person, that family member is arrested and charged and end up in court and everything else. We don't know what goes on, you know, and there's a lot of things go on behind closed doors, you know, over this unconstitutional over-criminalization, you know what I'm saying? So me personally, I do not trust any kind of law enforcement from what I've been through in the course of my years spending behind bars, you know. So it's I do have a lot to say, but we can't, it's not enough time because there's a lot of people in waiting. But like I said, the criminal justice system is rotten to its core. And there's laws for us, there's laws for them. And if it was us, we, like you said, we would be locked up unless we had a whole bunch of money. All right, but the thing that I can see how we can solve some of these issues that we as black people have is if somebody is wrongly convicted or somebody wrongly arrested, if we could get the basketball stars and the football stars behind all of this, well, then something might happen, you know, right? Like right now, Jay-Z and all of them are behind getting, I forget this guy's name. They're trying to get this guy released, you know. He's 60-something years old. He's been in prison, for, I think, for 20-something, 25 years, you know. He's sick, have a medical problem, and now they're doing these concerts and stuff. Only if they would do that for the little people who don't have money to have good lawyers to defend them. It takes the village, it takes the community to make the laws change. That's what it needs to be, happen. Simply that.
Yes, exactly.
And that's all I'm going to say right now.
All right.
And
well, thank
Jay,
you so much, Mr. Boston.
I told you I was coming over here. I told you I was coming over here to get at you.
Yes.
So
I'm
here.
Glad that you got on tonight.
Indeed.
Yes. Thank you so much for
Indeed.
Tuning in.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
All right. So that was Mr. Boston, everyone, and he's a new host on this network. And we're going to take another caller really quick. And then we're going to continue our conversation. Clearly, you're live on the Air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
I am doing well, Chinchilla. This is Genesis Amaris Kemp, and I just wanted to weigh in to say whenever I hear stories like this pertaining to Kyle, it just sickens me because time and time again, there are so many melanated African-American men who were wrongly convicted, and because they don't have enough money to get a lawyer, they're forced to be given a court-appointed lawyer who that lawyer sometimes does not even remember his or her name. Then they're going through the system and they're dealing with so much treachery. Then whenever they beat their case and they get a fighting chance to come back into the free world, they're having a hard time to secure it. To secure employment because people are looking at what is in their record when in actuality they already paid their debt to society. They serve their time. So why can't they be given a fair chance similar to the nominated person? And I'm like, you want to talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion plus equality, but where the hell is it in the justice system when there is no fair and fighting chance for African Americans?
Yes, that's so very true, Genesis. So very true. And thank you so much for calling in tonight to weigh in on the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict. Thank you so much. Latara, now, with the next case being Julius Jones. Now, with the Julius Jones case, you know, Julius has been wrongfully incarcerated since 1999, everybody. And, you know, his case was on News Forum a couple months ago and scheduled to be executed. Scheduled to be put to death by way of lethal injection, which was scheduled for Thursday, this past Thursday at 4 p.m. And, you know, Governor Kevin Stitt, who is the governor in Oklahoma, you know, he waited until, well, he didn't wait to the last minute or to the last hour because, but he waited forever because he had enough proof, enough evidence to stop that execution long before he did. And the Board of Pardons and, you know, they recommended clemency, that Julius Jones's sentence be commuted to life with parole. But however, Governor Stitt to go against the recommendation of the Pardon Board as well as the recommendation of the other group that's there in Oklahoma, and they both recommended his sentence be commuted to life with parole. Governor Stitt decided not to kill him, and only because of all of the advocates around this country and around the world that were standing up, speaking out, and supporting Julius Jones. And they wanted him to be free. They wanted him to not be executed. So because of all of that, not to execute him. If it had not been for the thousands and thousands of supporters, guess what? Julius Jones would not be breathing right now. So it is so important, everybody, to stand up, speak out for justice, be a voice, support those that are wrongfully incarcerated by becoming an advocate for them. No, you don't have to know them personally, but if you believe that they're innocent, then let's do something, just as all the advocates and supporters did for Julius Jones. They held rallies, many rallies, and guess what? They prevailed. God prevailed in this situation, and Julius is still alive. Governor Stitt commuted his sentence to life without the possibility of parole. He can never be paroled. He cannot be on probation. He cannot receive clemency. His sentence will never be fully commuted. And I think that's a great injustice. Latora, how do you feel about what Governor Stitt did in Julius Jones's sentencing?
Well, you know, it was wrong as well. And, of course, you know, I'm originally from Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's, you know, where I'm born, was born and raised in the state of Oklahoma. And Oklahoma is a Republican state. So that kind of tells you a lot right there. It's very wrong what they've done. And I'm sure that those supporters and advocates of Mr. Jones will continue to fight that particular issue. You know, I just told someone the other day that, you know, the Oklahoma Pardon and Parole Board, you know, you see them vote against people getting out, and they stick with that. You know, that's the record. If they make a recommendation for someone not to get out, then, hey, they just don't get out. So I don't understand how they would make a recommendation for something totally different than what the governor did. I believe the governor was wrong. And I do also believe that he would not have even done that he did do had there not been the amount of media pressure and attention on the state of Oklahoma that came about through, you know, Mr. Mm-hmm. Jones's, the people who were advocating for him.
Yeah.
Something else I do know too is that, you know, his victim, well, the victim, because, you know, Mr. Jones has always said he was innocent of the crime. So let me correct the victim
right.
In that case, Mr. Howell, his family has been a pushing force to keep, you know, Mr. Jones incarcerated. You know, they've been a pushing force. And, you know, they're a pretty they're a handful. I'll just say that almost anything else other than that. And they have been, you know, the force behind pushing this. And you'd have to know Edmond, Oklahoma, and Norman, Oklahoma, which is where I believe Mr. Jones was residing or, you know, going to college. And then it's just right up the road from there is Edmond. And, you know, Edmond, you'd have to know Edmond, Oklahoma. I mean, it's known to be a place that had racial issues. I actually went to school and lived in Langston, Oklahoma, which was just about 35 or 40 minutes away from there. And it was like night and day between the two cities, okay? So you have to take all that into account to understand, you know, why this case has kind of gone the way that it did. But, you know, I think it's ridiculous that the governor just went outside of what the board and, you know, what the parole board decided. I mean, they never does that. So I don't know why he opted to do so this time. I think it's not right. It's not right. And I believe it boils down to, you know, a lot of things. You know, in Mr. Jones' case, he had a horrible attorney. You know, I mean, there were so many facts. He still has not yet had received, if I'm not mistaken, the files that they requested from the prosecutor's office. They refused to release all of the files to Mr. Jones' people. I mean, so how does he, you know, how does he have a fair shot at anything if he doesn't have access to all of his records? So, you know, my hope is that his team will continue to fight and you know, we get a new governor. You know, they need to get Governor Stitt out of there. You know, let him, you know, push him out of there as next term. Get a new governor in there, and maybe that governor can right the wrong. You know, that's an option.
Exactly.
Too.
So, yeah. Wow. Thank you so much, Latara. Okay. Caroline, what are your thoughts on Governor Stitt and, you know, what he did to Julius?
Well, I'm glad he didn't get executed. I was extremely happy about that. But, yeah, I just hope his lawyers, I know they will keep on fighting for him. We'll keep on petitioning. I mean, I'm sure we all joined in signing the petition. It was a very wonderful thing that he wasn't executed on Thursday because, you know, I and probably a lot of other people were thinking that it was so last minute that it might not happen. So I think this is the first leg in the fight, and we just have to keep on fighting. I believe his original public defender actually signed the, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he admitted that he had made that he'd been ineffective and wrote all the ways that he had been ineffective for his PCRA, I was reading. So, you know, I think I don't know what they have to work with at this stage, but we need to keep on fighting for the governor to go further and to take the recommendation of the parole board. And I trust that, I think her name was Cece Jones, the person organizing all of these.
Cece. Yeah, that was the, yeah, that was the campaign manager organizing the rallies and all.
I trust that she'll keep on with the campaign until the governor eventually just signs for the recommendations of the parole board to be carried out. I hope so.
Yeah.
I really, really hope so.
Yeah, I hope so. I don't think they're gonna stop, you know, until he is actually paroled. And I do believe they will continue to fight for Julius's freedom, as they should. They deserve to be behind bars. You know, so it's another sad situation, very sad situation. All right, so right now we're going to listen to this song, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about Ahmaud Arbery. And then the other case we're going to talk about is the case of Christopher Belter, okay, which is another doozy. All right, so we're going to listen to this song, and the song, they have meaning because they're so very fitting for what we're talking about tonight. And, you know, we're talking about justice. So let's look at this one first. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Let's listen to this.
One woman's harrowing run-in not too long ago, not with a burglar, but what turned out to be a J.P. Morgan henchman sent to change her
life. I would say that the banks are robbing American people in plain English.
In recent months
I was
Detroit,
frightened to death.
Up to 3,000 people per week have been getting their water shut off because they haven't paid their bills.
What if I said desperate addiction? Financial fantasies, fiscal fairy tales that makes you think they exist. They want to have the pain right in their invisible prison. Turn off the corner, let the sweat drop. Where's the silly? You're shot dead in the street with interest. This game is thick and broken like the bomb is finished. But those are their rules, like a corporate court system. It's a business with shitty benefits. And I'm quick. See that number on the screen's not money. Call it fiat. Ain't no value here, just funny money. With most of us spending our lives driving between jobs and a prosperous plan. Scarcity is a fraud. We could only keep our messages subtle for so long. Cause it's hard when at the end of the day we're being robbed. And I would have put a past up to more wrong. Like my human sacrifice is current holocaust. And we've got more problems in common than differences. Whether you're Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, Jewish, or Christian, don't get it twisted. Injustice anywhere is a threat. If you don't protect them now, they won't be around to protect you next. And I'll say it again. If you don't protect them now, they won't be around to protect you next. Yeah, I'm talking all to the press. The game is fixed, divide and conquer. So what's that with next? Injustice anywhere is a threat. Injustice everywhere. 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 For you and yours, wherever you try.
In Spain, over half of under 25 have no jobs.
The FBI that testified that there was an epidemic of fraud.
I'd like you to tell me whether it's within the salary or legal authority to try to manipulate the stock market.
I mean, if you have devaluation of the dollar 10%, people have been robbed of 10%. The real deception is when we just
bribe
with money.
Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Cost of freedom is always high.
Yes, we've got some dark shadows floating over these hearts. Let me get it off the chest like a bench press bar. We're living in Rome without a good law on our courts. We're two fingers of peace, means the old Roman signal for war. What? I don't mean to instill fear, but fear is a form of worship around here. It's all smoke and mirrors. This is for those who hear us. The appearances can be deceptive. It can test our spirit. So what's the fact? These savages create Christ with the dollar sign. Spell with the letters of ice forever their line. With more pride than a line. And calling the most high. The UN, the IMF, the IRS, the CRA, with the mafia's finance. Stirring this alphabet with the ISIS. The wit's been replaced by the paper they print. Pulling more strings than puppets playing violin. They say slavery ended with the 14th Amendment. They say you diss the Rockefellers, guess you're anti-Semitic. You see you wizards of Oz counting gold by OC. These words of more power cause they don't. One rhyme for every chromosome. I'm home with sheep. Like most of my vocals close the breach. See, I don't mean to repeat it. We need each other. United we stand. Regardless of free or color. One person free alone is not free at all. And there's no justice without love with every call. One person free alone is not free at all. And there's no justice without love. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
That's not wrong.
That's fine.
Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Mr. Chairman, I call on you today.
Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
The bank is profiting from the same products that cause significant losses for its customers.
So who got the money? To financial institutions
and
in Europe and other countries.
Which
one?
So, very
I
true.
I don't know.
Injustice
$500 trillion
anywhere.
And we don't know who got the money.
It is definitely a threat to justice everywhere. Now, that song, it sounds like, you know, a whole lot of stuff is going on in that song. And I gather that's because injustice is a whole lot of confusion with injustices all across this country. So that was all that confusion with all the different types of injustices going on at the same time all around the country. All right, we're going to take another caller. Caller, you're live on the Edward News Forum. How are you tonight? Caller, you're live on the air. How are you tonight? This is Chinchilla.
Yes, I'm trying to call into Chinchilla J Show. For the love of God.
Yes, This is Chinchilla.
Yeah, it's the Hall of Fame two-time. Is he available too?
No. This is Chinchilla. This is News Forum. Who am I speaking to?
You're speaking to the Magic Man, and I'm calling because of. Excuse me a minute. I'm just a little.
Oh, did you
upset
tonight.
Yeah, yes. I'm trying to. Oh, for the love of God. I'm doing this because, you know, if you're a good actor, you can get away with murder.
Yes. Okay. I got you. Okay. Yes, indeed, Brother Hooney. Yes. I didn't even know that was you.
Anyway.
Okay.
you know I had to throw that brick. Ain't nobody else going to throw it. You best believe I'm going to throw that brick right there. But, you know, truthfully, though, ain't no laughing matter that how some people, they can make any and every excuse for what they do and get away with it. And bottom line is, let me say one more thing before I go. It was really more than just two people. What about the senseless shooting in the back that set everything off? No one even thinks
right.
about that, dude.
Right, that was the third person that was injured, yeah.
Bottom line is we can't win with a system like that,
mm-hmm.
you know? And you got people that feel comfortable because they've been doing this for eons and never been reprimanded for it. And my last thing is the reason why they continue to do what they do is because, you know, we might do a song and dance thing, but until there's an all-out beyond just protesting about it, it's going to continue. That's the sad, unadulterated truth about that. It's going to continue.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, I love you. I'm just calling in to show you divine love and support like you always show me, okay?
Thank you so much, Brother Hooney. Everybody, that
right.
is Brother Hooney, the International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting and trainee, Hooney Bakatun. Thank you so much, Brother Hooney. All right, we're going to go to another caller. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Hello. Congratulations, News Forum anchor, Chinchilla Day, on your ONA syndicated station all-time connection record. With your 36th all time with the Darlene Lawrence Championship. Congratulations, Chinchilla J.
Thank you so much, Angela Thomas Smith. How are you tonight?
I'm great.
Now, good. Now, what do you think
always
about
enjoying
the Kyle? Okay. And what do you think about that verdict that came back for Kyle Rittenhouse?
When is enough don't be enough. And
mm.
will change.
Exactly. That's definitely a question.
Yeah.
And, you know, to really ponder upon, because it's just so ridiculous. It's just horrible. Well, thank you so much, Angela, for calling in tonight. And
thank
you. Also a host on this network, everybody. And
thank
you so much, Angela. Yes. It's just sad. A sad, sad day in America. You know, it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Thank you so much for calling in, Angela. We are going to now talk a little bit about Chris Belter, because his case, my goodness, this man, he raped and assaulted many women. And the very interesting thing I find about his case is that his mother all knew what was going on in the house, because this all happened at his mother's home, in the home. And the three adults they were bringing in alcohol and marijuana, giving that to teenagers, okay? They were still in high school. They're giving them alcohol and marijuana, preparing them for the sexual assault. Now, what kind of crap is that? And, you know, the judge, Judge Murphy, found Belter not guilty, okay? He's free now. The other day, this happened just the other day, and he's home with his family. He will celebrate the holidays with his family while these now women that he raped and assaulted, they still are living with that nightmare. And he's home happy. His family's happy. But justice was not served because he is not behind bars where he belongs. He belongs behind bars. And how could the judge say that, you know, putting him in prison would not be appropriate? Well, why would it not be appropriate? I mean, that sounds so crazy to me. But here's another case of a family with money, the neighborhood they lived in, very well-to-do neighborhood, rich neighborhood, wealthy, okay? They had money, okay? They paid for the best attorneys, and I'm sure they paid off the judge and the prosecutor, you know, because, look, he is out, and the only thing he got was probation. And it's really sad. I think it's only 8 months of probation, you know, and he's not even going to be in the sex offenders thing, you know. He's not even going to be listed in that. That's a great injustice. When does this injustice stop? When does it stop? If he would have been a white man, if he would have been a black man, he was a white man. If he would have been a black man, he would be behind bars. And he would have did time for each of the assaults and rapes that he committed. He would have got time for all that. He would have been in jail probably for life, okay? But this guy is home doing no jail time. And, you know, he served 2 years already while he was waiting for trial. But look, this is ridiculous. He's out. And here we have, you know, Ali Shabazz, he's behind bars wrongfully for a crime he didn't commit, for a rape he didn't commit, okay? No DNA can prove that he did anything. His DNA was nowhere found on any of the women, okay, in any of the women. No DNA anywhere from him, okay? But yet he's behind bars wrongfully. So this stuff really pisses me off. Caroline, what do you have to say about that case?
Well, I don't know enough about the case. You know, obviously it's a case-by-case basis, but again, I believe he's a white male. Again, I believe that he's got off very lightly for having allegedly done some very bad things for which he was found guilty. His sentence does not match the crimes that he's been found guilty of, and it's that white privilege that I believe has prevailed in this case. I don't know enough actual individual facts about this man in this case,
right?
But it sounds like he's being given a pass. It really does.
Yeah, leniency. Definitely leniency in that case.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still very sad. And actually that case, Ali Shabazz, who's wrongfully incarcerated in Georgia, sent me that article. So I had to look that up. I'm like, oh, my goodness, because I had not heard of that case either. And, boy, I was blown away. You know, because, of course, he's sitting in prison, has been there now for 21 years, and for a rape that he did not commit, and it's so very sad. It's very sad. The scales of injustice. The scales of injustice. We're going to now. We're going to speak with. I talked about the case of Joel Atkins and how his case was in self-defense. And Joel's mother, Brenda, is actually on and would like to talk. So we're going to hear from her tonight because her son, he's wrongfully behind bars and has been there for quite some time. So let's talk to Brenda tonight. Brenda, how are you?
Hello, everybody. Thanks for the support of my son. I'm good. I guess my major thing is, you know, who you know or how much money or the media, how much it can affect different cases. And it shouldn't be like that. You know, God's created us all equal, and we should be equal in the courts.
Right. Exactly. And now just briefly fill everybody in, you know, I talked about Joel a little bit, you know, about him. It was a case of self-defense, but yet, how did the court see it, Brenda?
Well, because the arresting officer was related to the aggressor, there was Brady violations, conflict of interest, tampering with evidence, and you know, the hard part for me, Chinchilla, I was not there that day. I can tell you what they put out. I can tell you what my son told me happened. But my thing is what I heard over my police scanner. You know, at the time, I didn't even know it was my son. It was a beautiful day. Me and my younger two were outside cleaning the yard from winter. I came in to get a shower, you know, called my son and said, oh, I'm in the house. Bring the, you know, your bill money over, and got in the shower and got out. And upon getting out, you know, I heard over the scanner, attention all cars, we've got a guy on 911 who's got a guy at gunpoint, the other guy's got a knife. And I told you, you know, right then and there, my thought came out, you know, if he comes near you, shoot him. And the next thing, you know, the shooter was requesting an ambulance, and I listened to the call up until after the police got there, and I probably started panicking the most when they called out the location and the make and the model of the car. And I really started panicking when I heard an officer on the scene ask dispatch if the ambulance had been told no. And he said to expedite it. And then he came over and said, all the cars that are here, or all the police that are here, get these people to move the vehicles. And these were the vehicles of these party goers, or as they claim, a family picnic. But he had two people at his trial that were at this picnic. Where'd everybody else go? You know, my son claims there was at least 10 to 15 people in the street that day, is why he stopped. There was even a doctor riding down the road that turned around, that never testified, that worked on Jason. It's just sad. Connection, money, media, how it can affect the case, and it's wrong.
Yes. It's very wrong, Brenda, very wrong. And tell everyone, how long has Joel been wrongfully incarcerated right now?
10 years.
Wow. And
my son was also
so very sad.
My son was also expecting his first child in 2009, and the toll it's taken on him is just, it just breaks my heart.
Mm-mm-mm. And how old is his son now? It's a boy, right?
Yes.
And how old is he? He's 12 now. Wow. That is just so very sad, so very sad. Latara, Caroline, do you have anything you want to say about Joel's case? Anything you want to say to Brenda?
Well, you know, it just doesn't surprise me. You know, I don't know, you know, much about it except for what, you know, I just heard you guys say, but it doesn't surprise me because of how corrupt our justice systems are everywhere, all around the board. It's just corrupt. It's like there's no justice, period. I mean, I have no faith in our justice system at all. Just none, period.
Right. It's really ridiculous. Caroline?
It depends on how good your lawyer is. It depends on whether the prosecutors hand over all the evidence, whether the police do a proper investigation. It depends on, you know, so many people who've been convicted wrongfully have been convicted because of, you know, unreliable eyewitness testimony and all these different issues. And, I mean, there are so many reasons. It seems so easy to people and so difficult to get them out once they've been wrongly convicted. It's terrible. I'm so sorry, Brenda, for what you're going through.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Yeah, that's really ridiculous. Brenda,
yeah,
thank you so much for...
Well, I'd like to say that, you know, I've watched Latara, and she's just an amazing person. I watching her and her videos with her mother just used to make my day. And God bless you.
Awesome, Brenda. Awesome. That's awesome. And thank you so much for calling in tonight. And we will definitely continue to keep you and Joel in prayer. And also, we're going to keep you lifted up in prayer because we know this is a difficult time of the year for you and everything. So I'm definitely going to keep you in prayer because I know how your mom was such a supporter and advocate for Joel. And she's no longer here, and that's so very sad. So we will definitely keep you uplifted and stay strong and always stay hopeful, Brenda. And thanks for calling in tonight. All right, we're going to now listen to this song by Michael Jackson. You know, this song here is They Don't Care About Us, and, you know, it's very fitting. Because if we look at the criminal injustice system that we're in and the black and brown people, and as Genesis Amaris Kemp calls it, the melanated people, and she's also a host on this network, they don't care about us. They don't. So let's take a listen to this song, and then we'll be right back with more conversation. And if you would like to talk live on the air, press 1.
Call it live, y'all. Call it live.
they don't really care about us. And that could be black, brown, poor. They don't care about us, okay? They don't. All they care about is the wealthy, okay? And can't even really say the whites because, you know, the whites that are not wealthy, those that are poor, they get the short end of the stick as well, as we see in the case of Joel Atkins. All right, we're going to go to another caller. Caller, you're live with the Air News Forum. How are you tonight?
Oh, hi, Ms. Chinchella. This is Ricardo. I got a chance to listen to the, the show. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, yeah. So I was just wanting to say my views on Kyle. And I just kind of felt like it was a very unfortunate situation. I think about last week when I called, and I know the pastors and all of them was on, and I was just asking, did they think it would ever get better, you know, for us, you know, as far as black people. And just to see that a week, literally like almost a week later, you know, for them to give the verdict that they gave, it just kind of seemed like, you know, and I don't mean to be like pessimistic or whatever, but it just really seems like it's always going to be like this when it comes down to us. You get what I mean? And, you know, I feel like this, the writing was on the walls. And a part of me just felt like when I saw it, because I didn't follow the whole case, but I was just hoping that, you know, even though sometimes you know that it's a possibility that things aren't going to always go the way that we think it should go or justice isn't going to be served, I was just hoping that this time would be different. And when I saw that it wasn't, I was just like, wow, it's always going to be like this. And just to know, not to always make it a black or white thing or whatever, but just to know if it was, you know, a black man or whatever, you know, we would be, you know, basically on our way to be executed or something. You get what I mean? And to see, like you talk about every week about so many innocent black men, you get what I mean, incarcerated, and then to have someone who actually murdered some people, I guess two of the people, and then a third person, I guess, lived, just go off free.
Yeah.
And then I was hearing so many conflicting stories, so I didn't know what was true. Some people said that the jury people was people he knew and that him and the judge and them took pictures afterwards. And I was just like, wow, this is really America. It's this song that Childish, I think Gambino, I believe his name is, has a song, This Is America. And it's like the video, everything, the, like all the imagery, everything that he's talking about in the video is like, this is like where we, the time and the space that we're living in. And you would think over the years things have changed, but it's like we're still in, like, the 60s, and, you know, like, it just is the same. So it's just unfortunate, you know what I mean? So I just thought it was really, really sad. I'm like, wow, he really got off, like, and it's just going to continue to happen.
Yes, exactly, exactly. So thank you so much, Ricardo Richard, for calling in tonight and weighing in on the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict. Everybody, Kyle. Ricardo is also a host on this network. But thank you so much, Ricardo, for calling in tonight. And we're going to now actually hear from that's wrongfully incarcerated right now weighing in on this Kyle Rittenhouse verdict and also on the verdict of Chris Velter. All right. How are you tonight? How are you tonight, Ali?
Doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Yourself?
Okay,
I'm
fine.
I'm pretty outraged right now. You know, as you can hear in my voice, I'm pretty outraged.
Okay, so and now, tell us your frustration. Why are you outraged? I know you're wrongfully incarcerated now. You've been there for like 21 years. And yet Kyle Rittenhouse, you know, he killed two people, injured a third, Belter, someone that committed rape five different teenage girls. And he got off scot-free.
Yes.
So, like, what are your thoughts? What are you feeling? Because – you know, you're in prison now, accused of rape, where there's no DNA. DNA proves that you're innocent, but yet you are behind bars. So tell us, how do you feel about these verdicts?
First of all, Chinchilla, this guy, his name is Christopher, how long was his last name?
Belzer.
Belzer, okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the guy, that's the name, right? Christopher Belzer, right?
Yeah, Christopher Belzer, uh-huh.
Okay, the first guy. We ain't even going to start on Mr. Rittenhouse yet, right? But let's, you know, this guy here. This guy here, Christopher Belzer. I'm outraged. Because he, you know, I'm just looking at a case right now of white privilege. Now, for your listeners, for yourself, for everybody that's listening, I have no problem. I'm not a racist. I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm not none of that. But this guy, Christopher Belzer, admitted he sexually assaulted 4 women. And he walks free? Now, if you look at and study the case of Ali Shabazz, myself, and I don't make nothing of myself. Do you hear me? I don't make nothing of myself. But God is in control right now. It's the reason why God doing what he doing. I just believe that. You know, I usually come on this show, and I, you know, I'm pretty, you know, upbeat and but I just, for the life of me, 2 teenage white guys. Now, this is not an issue of that, but this guy gets off. Who admits? Me? Now, I've been in prison 21 years for a crime I did not commit. DNA to 3 DNA tests never match. So damn right, I'm outraged. Now, let's go on to Mr. Rittenhouse. This guy. Where do we start? This guy. First of all, I wish I would have got close to my judge like that. Second of all, if you did know people on the jury, like the last caller said, let me tell you something. It was just a spectacle right in front of our very eyes in America, what the white system does for their people. Me, I wish I would have got done like that in the courtroom. And let's see how that would have turned out. White America would have been outraged. They would have been outraged, Chinchilla. The Jones here, they would have been outraged. Now, for brothers like Hearn Steele, what's the other guy, Parnell? What's his name?
Brian Parnell.
Yeah, Brian Parnell, that brother
Brookins,
there.
John Brookins.
Yes, Ali Shabazz.
Grady Attaway.
And all, them,
yep,
all these brothers that's wrongfully convicted in different states around America. I hope they watch that also. Mm-hmm. Now, there's no rioting going on. There's none of that shit going on. Now, when black folks, when we get found, now, black America, let me tell you something. When we get found guilty or we feel like white America done us wrong, we go out there and tear up our neighborhoods. Now, I don't advocate for violence. I don't advocate for people that, you know, destruction of property. But I'm just saying, ain't nobody tore shit up. Ain't nothing been burnt down. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
So we as a people have to come together. We as a people have to continue to fight the fight. Because guess what? If that didn't show us as a people, Black America, that white power still stands, I don't know what to tell you. Because I'm sitting here and I didn't rape nobody, touch nobody. DNA don't match. But this motherfucker admitted that he did it. And you mean to tell me he at home with his family? Listen, yo. Listen, Rittenhouse. I don't even know what to say about this, Chinchilla. It's just so, I want to get into it, Chinchilla, but I can't. This is too, it's just too,
yeah.
Too,
and
it's too
fragile,
too fragile,
out.
Man.
Yeah,
it's too fragile,
you know,
and
we all can, you know, understand where you're coming from because you're behind bars wrongfully now, you know, for convicted of a crime that he actually did, and not only to one person or two people, but four people that he raped, and he is free, and you're still behind bars, and that's such a grave injustice. A grave injustice, and things definitely have to change in this country. We have to begin to balance the scales of justice because right now they're totally lopsided and filled with injustice, and it's such a sad thing. But Ali, I definitely thank you for calling in tonight and for sharing what you're feeling tonight. Wrongfully behind bars, incarcerated, and you don't belong there. So thank you so much for calling in tonight. And Latara, actually, thank you for coming on tonight as a guest. And if you have anything you would like to say in closing tonight, that would be awesome. And then we're going to go into Ngozi time, and then I will be right back at you, everybody. To give my final remarks on these topics tonight. So, Latara, do you have anything you would like to say in closing?
Well, one thing I do want to say, if the brother is listening who is in prison, I want to encourage him, you know, not to give up. And anyone else who is listening,
yes.
who has someone who is innocent, wrongly convicted in prison, a loved one or a family member, do not give up. Continue to fight. And, you know, for those who are advocates who are listening, please continue to advocate for your loved one because being a voice for them outside of the prison where they can't be a voice for themselves, it's very, very, very important. So I just want to close out with those encouraging words, you know, to the people because I do believe continue to come together, fight together, voice out. And I'm going to tell you something that's really important, too. Is to know these people's policies, their protocols, and their procedures. Know them so that you can challenge them. Know, you know, so that you'll know, because if you don't know they're doing something wrong, then you can never challenge anything. That's how I beat the system here locally in Kansas City, Missouri. I study the policies of whomever I'm getting ready to go after, and I don't mean go after in a negative way, but whoever I'm getting ready to challenge in court or, you know, call out in something. I study their policies, and I look at what they're not doing per their policy, and I go in after them. I go in and hold them accountable to what they're not doing. So that's very important, too, to know the policies and follow the policies. Learn them, go in there, and confront the people with it. That's how you begin to right wrongs, because if you never know something, you know, we can know it's wrong, but if we can't prove it and if we can't pull out their facts to show what they're doing wrong, continue to do the wrong. And I see that, you know, quite a bit, especially when it comes to wrongful conviction cases. You know, we have to start holding these people accountable. We have to do more than just Facebook posting and, you know, sharing things on Facebook. We have to be active. If you have a rally, you need an action plan following that rally. Because that's what
yes.
changes stuff, you know. You know, we have a rally coming up on the 29th of November here, where we in Missouri, where we are holding our Attorney General's office accountable because they will fight these wrongful convictions to no end. They don't care about if if a person's constitutional rights have been violated. They don't care about any of that. They're just going to fight the conviction. And in the meantime, they're leaving innocent people in prison. So we're calling them out. We've got some things going on, but we're going to start addressing them. Hey, we'll go after to get the AG out of office. You know, I mean, theirs can be done. So I just want to leave out with some encouraging words, telling everyone, please don't give out. Please continue to push forward. And Ms. Brenda, I didn't know that was Brenda. I know Brenda from Facebook. I didn't know that was Brenda on the phone. But Brenda has been fighting for her son forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, my words to her is, Ms., keep fighting, Ms. Brenda. I don't care how corrupt the system is, where anyone is at. God is bigger than corruption. And that's what we have to remember. So that's just what I have to say in closing.
Yes. Thank you so much, Latara, for coming on, for being a guest tonight. And I definitely appreciate you and all your efforts and all the work that you're doing down there in Missouri. And just keep up the awesome work that you're doing. And we'll be in touch soon. All right, everybody, don't go anywhere. Keep it right there because your girl, Chinchilla J, will be right back after Ngozi time.
Are you sick? Are you tired? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Well, if so, Dr. C and Dr. A can definitely help you get on the road to optimum health today. Yes, you can get well and you can stay well naturally. For health consultations, iridology exams, or product purchases for weight loss, arthritis, sugar diabetes, or whatever else may be ailing you, give me a call at 267-375-9757. Again, that number is 267-375-9757. Here's to your health. And speaking of here's to your health, here's to your health, broadcast live on Saturdays at 1 p.m. To tune in, dial 563-999-3743. Again, 563-999-3743. Here's to your health.
We want to thank Chinchilla Janice and what she does on a constant basis to help people and change people. Something that Ali brought up that I want to bring up again. We have a lot of cowards out there. Again, there are children dying in the streets in your communities right now. And people just lock the doors. There are people that are wrongfully incarcerated right now as we speak. And no one rallies for them. No one cares for them. But we care, don't we? And that's why our news anchor does her extreme ministry, again, to help people and to change people. We congratulate our news anchor of News Forum, Chinchilla J, on her 37th only syndicated station on-time connection record. Outstanding performances. Tomorrow night on these only stations, we have Genesis of Mars Kemp and Gems right here on these only stations. Again, 9:30 Eastern Standard. And, of course, Beverly Nation is advertising to ONI, which is Ola Deli and Ngozi Enterprises, Reese's, of course, at www.lookinglassentertainment.wordpress.com, as well as Ngozi Primetime 1 at bevnet.com. We're Ngozi Time both for Twitter and Instagram. Ola Deli and Ngozi at Twitter, Google+, Ola Deli and Malaria Ngozi at Facebook, as well as our business page, News Forum, as well as the historic Beverly Nation Online Radio, established 2013. Any comments, suggestions or a wonderful program tonight? Oh, Lay Day Lay, Donnie Goes With My, and gmail.com. And I am the 2021 International Internet Radio Producer, Ms. Rani. But most importantly, I'm your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Deli Malaria Ngozi, saying goodnight and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis. And now to the 2021 Sonia Griffin Award-winning Linear New Host of the Year. 2021 has been a great year, and her name It's Chinchilla, Dionysia. The mic is yours.
All right. Thank you so much, Brother Earl. Everybody, I truly thank all of you for tuning in tonight and for listening tonight to Scales of Injustice in America. And as Brother O said, we all need to do something about this, because as long as we sit quietly, some injustice will get further and further and further, and justice will not be served in black and brown communities and among poor people. So we have to stand up, speak out, and we have to do something. So remember to always be a voice. Get involved. I mean, follow me on Facebook, Chinchilla Dionysia. Follow me on Instagram, at Princess Chinchilla. Like and follow Mike, M-I-C-T-E-S-T, Entertainment TV's Facebook page for all the different podcasts of Cries of Injustice and Nightmares from Behind Prison Walls and all that, Cries of Innocence, and all the different podcasts are on there. And follow that. Do something. Join Right the Wrong Coalition and become active. Actively participate when we go back and forth to Harrisburg, rallying and advocating and lobbying for change and meeting with state legislators to change the laws here in Pennsylvania and around this country. Get involved. If you want to know how to be a guest on News Forum, reach out to me during the week, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. by dialing 844-642-8378. Again, that's 844-642-8378, extension 888. If you'd like to show me some love by donating and contributing so that I can continue to take this work around the country to be a voice, you may reach out to show me some love by cash apping me at $Chinchilla, C-H-I-N-C-H-I-L-A, capital J-O-N-E-S-I-A, or Venmo me at Chinchilla Dionysia at Mike Test Entertainment TV. I'm sorry, MikeTestEntertainment.com. If you forgot any of those, just give me a call or hit me up on Facebook. Y'all can inbox me and ask me again, okay? But until next time, I am Chinchilla Dionysia. Thank you for tuning in tonight. And thank you, Caroline. I love you much. Caroline had to go. She has a very early morning tomorrow filled with depositions. So, again, thank you, Latara Smith as well, and Ali Shabazz, and all of you that called in. Until next week, I am Chinchilla Dionysia. Be productive, and remember to always be a voice on purpose. Good night.